Why is it some of us have so little joy? Why is it some of us right now just find ourselves fighting its anger, misery, grumpiness? Why is that? Could it be that we're holding on to things outside of Jesus Christ? Could it be that we're relying on religion and our own self-righteousness? Could it be that we're just so stuck in our pride we will not let the love of Jesus Christ begin to trickle down and flow into our lives, that we might start to be softened and broken and shed some tears of repentance and truly know the joy of our Savior Jesus Christ? Could it be? Where's the Pharisee in us?
Hi, friends, and hey, welcome back to Live in the Light. Hey, Live in the Light is a radio ministry, that much is obvious, but what we hope will also be obvious is that this ministry would be used by God in your lives to see radical transformation through the revelation of God's truth. That's our hope for you, that's our prayer for you as we walk into our series today called Let Me Tell You a Story. We're looking at unique parables that Jesus taught in the book of Luke that are just for us. Hey, Robbie, Jesus is telling stories for us today, isn't he?
He's telling stories of joy, Craig. Stories that just let us know the heart of our God. I love the parables, and I love this parable in particular that lets us see that God is searching for those who are lost to find them, to save them, to rejoice over them. And Craig, who knows who's listening today? There are people out there right now and you do not know Jesus Christ personally. Oh, we pray that through the message of the gospel today, that you might know him, that even you've been appointed to listen today to this message. And for those of us who are believers in Christ, to understand the joy God has over us as he has loved us and saved us, again, redeemed us for his purposes. Rejoice in that. Again, there is no greater message. May God use his word powerfully today in the hearts and minds of our listeners.
All right. Well, it's a story of rejoicing for you. It's a story of rejoicing for us here today. Let's go to Luke chapter 15 and look at this story. And here again is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons.
It's the humble that say, I need the blood of Jesus Christ. I need the forgiveness. But again, the Pharisees have this form of spiritual heart disease. And therefore, pretty soon they will have a heart attack and they will die, because they will not receive that which can only be offered through the life that is found in Jesus Christ. Again, it's amazing to me. They are beside Christ, but do not know Christ. They look at Jesus and speak with Jesus, but they cannot see Jesus or hear Jesus. It's the pride that blinds them. It's the pride that kills their joy. The living water is literally flowing right beside them, but they would prefer a cup of mud instead. Every day, there's the living water of Jesus Christ flowing. All they have to do is reach out and drink some. But they will not, because they cannot see and they're too hard of heart. And again, they prefer the filthy cup of disgusting mud as opposed to the living water of Jesus Christ. They are so concerned with selves, they have no love for the lost. Again, they fail to recognize the very reason Jesus came. Luke 19 was to seek and to save the lost. Now, loved ones, let's be very, very careful. It's so easy for us to look at the Pharisees in verses 1 and 2 and be like, man, those guys were awful. I think what's so important for us to stop and to ask ourselves is I believe there's a little bit of Pharisee in all of us. And our starting point right now is to say, if religious self-righteous pride kills joy, where is that in me? For some of us, it might be 2%. For some of us, it might be 50%. The wise question is to say, where's the Pharisee in me? Where's the Pharisee where I start relying on religion and self-righteousness and my own pride, and listen, it's killing the joy within my life too? Here's a good question. Why is it some of us have so little joy? Why is it some of us right now just find ourselves fighting its anger, misery, grumpiness? Why is that? Could it be that we're holding on to things outside of Jesus Christ? Could it be that we're relying on religion and our own self-righteousness? Could it be that we're just so stuck in our pride, we will not let the love of Jesus Christ begin to trickle down and flow into our lives, that we might start to be softened and broken and shed some tears of repentance and truly know the joy of our Savior Jesus Christ? Could it be? Where's the Pharisee in us? You know, there are churches across this land that are on the verge of dying with 17, 19 people, 23 people in them. And they're so focused on, not all, but some are so focused on legalism and religion and rules. They have this little group of people and no one else is effectively allowed to enter. And the moment someone does walk in, they are sent to the back, they are judged, they are held at a different standard. And really, a sinner wouldn't dare darken the doors of these churches because the moment they do, all they get is judgment. That's not Jesus. That is not, some of you grew up in such a system. Some of you grew up in such a condemning, legalistic, harsh, truth-only, law-only environment. That's not Jesus. That's pharisaical, and it kills our joy. And did you ever notice within those such gatherings as they begin to die off because Jesus Christ left that church a long time ago? Have you ever noticed there's just not joy there? It's just rules and rules and rules and rules. And there's one excommunication after another because all it is people condemning each other out of religious zeal for something Christ never even asked us to do. But it's easy to look at that kind of situation too, but now we have to look at ourselves. Where's religion killing my joy? Where is self-righteousness stealing my joy? Where is pride seeking to destroy my joy? Where's the love that we are to have for the lost? Because you have to understand, God's greatest joy in our text today is when he finds lost sinners and he saves them. Do we share the same joy? Do we share the same joy of what God feels for our lives in this way? And also we ask ourselves, because the Pharisees couldn't stand that Jesus was hanging out with those who were lowly. Do we have a heart for tax collectors and sinners? Here's a better question. Do we realize that we are tax collectors and sinners? Every person before Jesus Christ is dead, the psalmist says, I have no good apart from you. And Romans chapter 3, Paul says, no one is righteous, no, not one. Romans also says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we all see ourselves theologically as we truly are before Jesus Christ. We are all in desperate need and we are the tax collectors and sinners. And that's why Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost. I have not come to save the righteous, but sinners who know they need repentance, Jesus says. Do we share that heart? Because if we share that heart and if we find joy in seeing those who are most despised and rejected save in Jesus Christ, then we share the joy of God. Which leads us to our second point then is this. Lost sinners found is God's joy. Question, is it mine? When lost sinners are found, it is such the joy of God. The question is it mine? So Jesus, what he does in response to the grumpy, joyless hearts of the Pharisees, he begins to tell them a parable to explain his joy. The story now of a lost sheep and the story of a lost coin. Now, this would deeply resonate with the rural Jewish community who are listening again to this, to these stories being told. The men would especially resonate with the story of the lost sheep, and the women would especially resonate with the story of the lost coin. Here first is the story of the lost sheep. Verse 3, Luke 15 says, so he told them this parable, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one, does not leave the 99 in the open country, go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and he comes home. Rejoice with me, friends and neighbors, for I have found my sheep that was lost. The story here is simple. The shepherd has 100 sheep. One gets lost. He leaves the 99 in the open country. And the shepherd, notice, will search until he finds the sheep, until he finds it. He will not stop looking. Once the sheep is found, he rejoices. He rejoices with friends and neighbors. He comes together. The shepherd will not stop until that one sheep is found. And then Jesus says, and what about the parable of the lost coin? It's probable here that the coin that was lost from this woman was part of a headdress that was worn from women who were married. And it's possible here the coins in her headdress represented her life savings. So it's possible then that this woman had just misplaced or lost 10% of all that she owned. You can understand then the urgency of, I need to find this, because this 10 coin headdress was valuable to her monetarily, but also symbolically as it related to her marriage. Notice in the parable of the lost coin, notice in verse 8, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it. So notice the diligence of her search, lights the lamp in her small little home there, sweeps the house with all the straw that would probably be on the ground. And notice she will not stop until she finds it, she will not stop until the coin is found. And when she does, she rejoices. There's the joy. Neighbors, friends, come, come, rejoice with me, rejoice with me. The coin that I have lost is now found. Loved ones, these parables have a ton of joy in them. They have a ton of joy. And what's the point of these parables? The point of these parables is to point us to the love and the joy of God when one of his children is found and saved by the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Notice a few things about these parables. Notice the sheep and the coin are helpless on their own. They're helpless. They cannot save themselves. Many times throughout the history of this church, I've commented on how dumb sheep are. Let me just take a few more minutes to remind you again as the stupidity of sheep. As one commentator said this, he says, no creature strays more easily than a sheep. None is more heedless and none so incapable of finding its way back to the flock. The sheep will bleat for the flock and yet still run in the opposite direction. Dumb sheep. Sheep often wander into dangerous areas and get stuck. Why would they do that? Because they're dumb. Sheep have no thought of what's coming next, no thought of the future. They can't care for themselves. Even cattle don't require a shepherd, but a sheep inherently needs and longs for authority and guidance. Sheep are so helpless on their own, and that's why we are called sheep in Scripture over and over again. On our own, we're done. What about the coin? The coin being an inanimate object can only lie there on the ground, can do nothing until it is found. The coin is 100% helpless on their own. But hear this. Here's the power of the gospel in these stories. Hear the heart of God within these parables. Who's the one who does the searching for the coin and for the sheep, and the coin representing us and the sheep representing us? Who's the one who does the searching? It is God. God is the one who diligently searches to find and to save those who are his. The sheep are incredibly valuable to the shepherd. The coin is incredibly valuable to the woman. Notice that. Listen, loved ones, God's children are eternally valuable to him. So much, though, that God searches for them until he finds them. Listen, he will not stop searching until he finds them. And this is so awesome. When he finds them, God himself erupts with joy, and all of heaven joins him in a celebration and a party that reverberates through the heavens because one of his lost has now been found. This is the gospel. This is the glory of God upon your life. If you've truly been saved in Jesus Christ, listen, as the parable of the sheep says, the Lord goes out. He found you when you were helpless. You were stuck. You were done. He put you on his shoulders and he carried you back. And he said, rejoice with me, rejoice with me. My sheep was lost, but now it is found. And the angels celebrate and the heavens celebrate. And the Lord himself rejoices over the fact, listen, that you were found. The woman, she loses her coin. She goes, she lights a lamp. She takes out her broom and she begins to sweep, and she will sweep and sweep and sweep until the coin is found. In the same way, loved ones, in the same way, the Lord God Almighty, upon you and I, if we are saved in Jesus Christ, he took out his broom and he began to search for you. You just think about this. For some of us, we heard the gospel for 15 years, for some of us 25, for some of us 40, for some of us 60 years, and we would not receive the truth of Jesus Christ. And what did he do? He kept sweeping, and he swept, and he swept, and he swept, and he would not stop until he found you, and he swept, and he swept, and you tried to run, and you tried to reject it, and you tried to go the other direction, but he kept sweeping, and eventually he found, and he picked you up, and he says, rejoice with me, rejoice with me, rejoice with me, my child has been found, and the angels erupt, and the heavens celebrate, and the people respond, because God's child was saved, because he would not give up on you. What's amazing to me right now is God today continues to sweep, and he has maybe even swept you into this place, even in a wind chill of minus 30 or something. He has brought you into this place because he will not give up on you, because he loves you. And for those who stray away from him, he continues to sweep and sweep and sweep, and he will not stop until he finds those who are his. Why? Because he chose you before the foundation of the world, and he calls you, and he searches for you, and he sweeps for you, and he will find you. You can run, but you cannot hide for too long. You are done in the best way possible. And I want you to see this. When he finds you, He sets off a party in your name. And he rejoices, listen, over you. Over you. It's right here in the text. It is undeniable what is being said here. If you are saved by grace in Jesus Christ, you must know what this means. Listen, you are a treasured possession and prize of Almighty God. You are. It's amazing how much we resist that. So many of us, because of our hurts and our backgrounds, God can't possibly see me this way. There's no way I deserve this. You don't deserve it. That's the whole point of the gospel. Either do I. So much like, no, God couldn't. He couldn't possibly help me as a prize. But there's no way that kind of love and joy could be about me. Well, you're wrong. It is. If you are saved in Jesus Christ, the word of God says to you today, I mean, it is sometimes hard to imagine that this is true, that God searched and swept and found me and you and saved us and then rejoiced over us. That's the gospel. But I'm such a sinner. I know. So am I. I'm a mess. I know. So am I. I know. And yet he delights in us with singing and he rejoices and he even calls his friends over and says, look, I want to show off to you my son, my daughter. And he does that when we're saved and he does that now. That's amazing. That's the gospel. Some of you still saying, oh, I can't be true. It is. I don't know what else I can say. In the name of Jesus Christ, it is. You're saved in him. He rejoices in you. He rejoices in his son in you. He rejoices that he chose you, he called you, he searched for you, he found you, and he has saved you. The Father rejoices, listen, that we belong to him. No wonder we sing with such awe and joy and wonder in that beautiful line of that hymn that says, I am his and he is mine. I am his. I belong to the Lord. And he belongs to me. I am his, and he is mine. So consider the truth we're learning, or maybe we're rediscovering. When you were saved, loved ones, the Father was filled with an overwhelming joy. Imagine a human parent, the way when a child comes into the world, and most of all, first-time parents, you can always hold another child in your arms, but until it's yours, you just don't know what you're in for. And when a child comes into the world and the father or the mother for the first time holds the baby, and just you know the feeling, the incredible, unexplainable joy and perspective that comes, and you're lost for words and tears fill your eyes and the wonder, and especially if you are saved in Jesus Christ, you look up to the heavens and just awe and just you're so astounded. How could this be? And the healthy pride that you feel in that moment, the joy that you hold over my child has been born. Listen, that is nothing compared to the infinite joy the Father feels when his children are born again. Nothing that we feel compared to the Father feels of the infinite, perfect joy and delight and calling for the angels to rejoice as one of his children is born again through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a joy so powerful, the text says to us, we'll get there in a second, it reverberates through the heavens, literally. He says, come, gather, my child, look at my child. But you see, loved ones, God's not done setting joy upon his children yet. That's why the church is still here. Because as a church, we are the most powerful institution in this universe. Because we are called with the greatest message to express the greatest joy that one could ever know. A joy that even the Father himself feels. Here's the truth. When lost sinners are found, this is God's awesome joy. Here's the question, though. If lost sinners being found is God's awesome joy, is it my joy as well? Do I share the same joy as what God feels as seeing the lost saved, as seeing people saved from the clutches and the wrath of God and found in hell? Do I rejoice in the same way in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because notice in the text, the man and the woman, they gather friends and neighbors saying, rejoice with me. The Pharisees wouldn't do it. The Pharisees weren't rejoicing. They were grumpy. They were miserable because the sinners were being saved. But those who know they are sinners, when they see other sinners being saved, they rejoice. Do we share the same joy? One of the ways we know is the way we pray. Are we praying for our needs alone, or do we pray to God that he would save other people, that we might know the joy? Is this our burden like it is God's burden? Are we seeing, have our gifts used not for our glory, but to see other people saved and the lost being found? This is why even this week and going through the process of preaching, it's just so difficult and you get so destroyed, because in the process, it can't be about us anyway. It's just about Jesus Christ and lives being changed. And that's why at the end of last service, some man walk up and said, I've been searching for truth for 3 years. I need Jesus Christ. Amen. With tears in his eyes and say, do you want to be saved? I do want to be saved. Do you know how to be saved? I do not know how to be saved. Let me tell you, led him through a prayer of the gospel. And there he was, completely broken. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ set him free. And he has tears in my eyes and my heart is overwhelmed with joy. Why? Because this is what it's all about. This is why we're here, to see people who are blind and now can see, who cannot hear but now can, who were dead and who are now alive. And so we sit in a baptism service and someone expresses that, I was so dead, I was so lost, I was caught in sin, but Jesus set me free, hallelujah. And they have tears and they cheer, and we're sitting in the seats and we have tears and we cheer. Why? Of course we should cheer, because this is why we're here, that God gets glory. This is why our church be filled with joy. Not a happy, but a joy. This is why we sing for joy in the gospel, because it's all we have. He's all we have. This is why we gather and get our hands up and get our hearts full and don't give up and don't give up and don't give up, because there's too much to live for. It's who we're supposed to be. God finds so much joy when lost sinners are found. And the question is, do we? This is the power of the gospel. It comes to joy in our text, loved ones. Self-righteous pride will kill joy. Lost sinners found is God's joy. And here's the third point. The business of heaven is eternal joy. But here's the question, do I believe? Do I believe? So as we end, look at verse 7 now. Verse 7, Jesus says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And then in verse 10, he says something similar. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God, amazing, over one sinner who repents. Notice what is common between verses 7 and 10. Notice what's common. A joy is common between the verses. Notice heaven and angels in heaven is common. Notice sinners is common. Notice repentance is also common. Now, verse 7 says that the one who repents is contrasted with the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. What does that mean? Here's what it does not mean. It does not mean that there exists certain people who do not need to repent to be saved. That would go against the totality of Scripture. All of Scripture points that repentance is absolutely necessary for salvation. By grace, you've been saved through faith. You must confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be saved. Peter, Jesus, John the Baptist, Paul, all express this, the utter critical necessity of repentance preceding true conversion. So it doesn't mean that, nor does it mean people who are already saved, and therefore repentance is not necessary. And the reason I believe that, because our context involves the Pharisees in verses 1 and 2. Jesus told these parables to explain to the Pharisees where the joy of God is really found. But the Pharisees believed that their righteousness externally was enough to save themselves. So to the Pharisees, true repentance of sin was not needed, so they rejected the Savior in favor of religion. I gotta make sure this is so clear. Some of you, there's always people every weekend who come, and you have come to church believing that if you are a good person, you get to heaven. You need to know that is absolutely false. Some of you right now, I'm gonna say this 5 different ways. It's amazing how deceptive this becomes. And you've been in religious circles where you are taught, if you do ABC, then God will see you as such and such, and he will grant you acceptance into glory. That is not true. Some of you believe, if I do good works, if I come to church, because I'm better than that person down there, so surely God will see me. Listen, you have to understand, one sin prevents you from getting into heaven. One sin keeps you out. One. You sin once, you sin millions of times, as have I. Say it again. If you are here today and you have been taught or you believe that being a good person will get you into the glory of God, you are absolutely going down a path that will lead you not to heaven, but to hell. There's not one person who'll stand before God and say, I'm good enough to get in. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Pharisees, man, I mean, wow, they were so filled with pride and self and religion. All whole bunch of them, I don't know what happened to them at the end, but a whole bunch of them would stand before God in judgment and they would list off all the rituals they went through, all the little details of their tassels, all the word of God literally on their foreheads and on their arms, and it would mean nothing because they are not saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Loved ones, self-righteousness cannot save us. We will never be good enough to save ourselves. If you are here today, I'll say it one more time. If you are here today and you have been taught that what you do gets you into heaven, you've been taught wrong. That is a wicked lie from the pit of hell. The only way you'll be saved is through the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. And the grace of God is just that. It's grace. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. You respond to grace with love because you've been loved so much. That's the wonder of the gospel. It's free. It's a gift. It's received how? By faith. By faith. By grace, you have been saved through faith. The Pharisees could not get this through their pride-filled minds. And so where there is not true repentance, there will not be true joy. That is why they were so miserable all the time. Verse 7 is very comparable to Luke 5. I'll read it for you. Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician or a doctor, but those who are sick do. See that? Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous. I have not come to call those who don't think they need me. I have come to call sinners to repentance. I have come for those who are humble enough to say, I am a sinner, I have sinned, and I need a savior. And maybe you are just like that man in the previous service, and you are here and you've been searching for truth. You are hearing the truth right now. And maybe, just maybe, you are finding out right now that the Lord is still sweeping, and he's sweeping for you. And through this service right now, listen, he's sweeping because he wants to find joy and he wants to place his joy in you. We heard today that the joy of heaven is when the joy of God becomes the joy in us. We have heard today that Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you. And I love this right now. God has swept some of you in this place because he will not give up because he has chosen you before the foundation of the world and he is searching for you and he is sweeping right now. And Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you that my joy might be in you and your joy might be full. Could it be that today's your day? Could it be that right now, and you know it, the Lord is upon you and you're done running and you give up and you say, Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner in need of a savior. And listen, here's the beauty of this. The moment you are found, the moment you confess your sins in Jesus Christ and you are saved is the moment God himself throws a party in your favor and your honor in your name. And the angels of God rejoice and the joy goes through the heavens and the joy of God continues to be upon you over and over and will be completed in the day that Jesus Christ turns back, all because the Lord God would not give up on you, all because the Lord God continues to sweep and find and search to save because he loves you so much. Isn't the gospel enough for us right now to say, wow, God, who are we? Isn't the gospel enough for us to say, wow, God, your joy, may your joy become our joy. Loved ones, if joy is the business of heaven, let's give heaven our business. Amen? The business of heaven may be seen and found in us. Let's pray. Let's pray.
Wow. Well, an encouraging message for sure. We pray God has done just that in your heart, encouraged you as you have found your face fixed again at the glory of God. Of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loved ones, if God's been stirring in your heart and you'd love to share it, reach out to maybe the Live in the Light team and maybe share a word of encouragement or even to grab a copy of today's message. Make sure you visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. Or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today, listeners. Join us again next time here on Live in the Light. Oh, yeah. I wanna